You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. We got the local, we got the state, we got the national, man. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Friday. Fri-yay, we like to say around here. It's Veterans Day, for that matter. All right, let me jump into my comments here. And, so today is Veterans Day. And really, in my opinion, every day is Veterans Day. So much of what we enjoy is built upon the sacrifices of men and women who did hard things in hard places just to ensure our ability to not just survive as a nation, but to actually thrive as a nation. But it's fitting, in my opinion, though, that we do have a set-aside day on the calendar to say thank you and to bring those sacrifices into the forefront of the minds of people everywhere. I've got a small sign on the shelf in my study at home. It's not even as big as a standard sheet of notebook paper, but it's a small sign. It actually hung on the wall next to my father's desk all my life. He brought it back from Vietnam, apparently. It has the image of one of his combat patches on it, the Black Horse from the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. And the sign says, "You have never lived till you've almost died, and for those who fought for it, life has a flavor the protected will never know." Well, when Agent Orange exposure finally caught up with my dad about 8 years ago, I took the sign off of his wall and I put it on my own. And it's not an ostentatious or a prideful statement. It's not meant that way at all. It's not a reflection meant to be imposed on someone who's not been in the military. It's just a truly humble statement of personal reflection. It's a reminder that going into harm's way makes you appreciate peace all the more. It's a true statement that life is so much more meaningful when you've been placed in a position that puts life in jeopardy. Now, I'll be honest with you, I grew up in an Army family. Generations of my folks have served or are serving now, and it's something that I observed. It's something that was noticeable. It was woven into the very fabric of my life. There's odd keepsakes in the house from all points of the globe. Periods of time when folks are gone, long-distance calls from overseas, visiting the unit on family day, attending the occasional promotion or award ceremony, never questioning what Dad was going to wear the next day because uniform means uniformity, showing my ID card to get to the PX, missed birthdays and missed holidays, and then making them up later on the calendar. It's an upbringing that some folks apparently find disruptive, but it resonated well with me. I tell you what, let me look back on my generational family service and just give you an idea. It was just a few years ago that I found the World War I discharge certificate of my great-grandfather on my mother's side. He was with the 81st Division. The back of the certificate lists the campaigns he was involved in. I was told that he was gassed in the trenches and he didn't like to talk about it. But nonetheless, his service did not impede his son, my grandfather, from entering the Army himself. My grandfather was George McBride, an engineering graduate from what is now Auburn University, where he also got his commission as an Army officer in 1942, from which he went straight to World War II. I asked him once, I said, "Granddaddy, what made you get into ROTC?" He said, "Boy, they paid me $12 a month." Well, he went on, after basic officer training, to be assigned to what became the 82nd Airborne Division and later to the 18th Airborne Corps. Granddaddy Mac, we called him, he was a glider rider. In that extremely dangerous side of the already dangerous paratroopers who rode into battle in flimsy gliders, I asked him another question one time when I became a young paratrooper myself, what it was like to be in the glider troops. And again, he calls me boy all the time. He said, "Boy, it was the most god-awful thing man ever invented." My grandfather went on to serve for over 30 years. He was an engineer on the early hydrogen bomb projects. He was a project manager for the Hawk missile at the young and then upcoming Redstone Arsenal. He later became the commanding general at Redstone, and he was the Corps logistics officer at Quy Nhon in Vietnam under General Westmoreland. He retired in the early 70s as a brigadier general to do a little fishing in his bass boat, and it was well earned. My own dad entered the service in the early 60s. After being commissioned as an Army officer at what is now the University of North Alabama, then Florence State, Dad served for 21 years, which included two highly decorated tours in Vietnam, 5 Bronze Stars with Valor. First as an advisor to the 22nd Arvin Infantry and later with the 11th Cav. After Vietnam, my father chose to enter into Army Research and Development, spent the latter part of his career deeply involved in project management at what used to be called BIMSCOM, the Army Ballistic Missile Defense Systems Command at Redstone. He worked on things like the Hellfire missile, which is still in use today. He retired in the 80s despite being tapped for full colonel so he wouldn't have to move me in my senior year of high school. And he worked as a defense contractor on Star Wars missile defense programs. He was actually selected thereafter to serve in the Reagan administration as a deputy undersecretary of defense for research and development. He had a long career in the private sector, and he even served as finance director for the state of Alabama. He was the best man at my wedding. I look back on these men, and that's what they were. They were men in the true sense. Not at all toxic, but certainly masculine. And I realized that even when they weren't intentionally teaching me something, that they were still teaching me. A big part of the decision for me to enter the service myself was based upon having had such a favorable and an admirable view of growing up. There was no regret. There was a humility and a pride in being part of their family, an expectation of doing what was necessary, not because they told me I had to, but because they had modeled it for me. They had a military bearing, but they were always still dad and granddad. For 30 years, I wore the uniform of the U.S. Army myself, whether on active duty or in the Guard, in war and in peace, in the field, in garrison. I missed a lot of events. I missed some birthdays, missed school events for my kids. I got some bruises, some scars, some aches and pains that come from active lifestyle, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. My own family, my wife, my son, and my daughter have each had their say, and have each been ultimately and amazingly supportive. They made it easy, or at least easier, to go and do that which I was called to do. And now, I got to tell you, my own son is a major, on active duty, recently promoted, having already served twice as a company commander in the brigade combat teams, making his own way, doing a damn fine job. Well, daggum, Boomer. I got myself. I don't know. Maybe it's in the blood. It's also in the memories. Watching it, experiencing it, respecting it. None of us were actually forced to go in the military. There was no draft. It was just what we saw in the generations before us. It was a legacy. So on this day where we set aside a spot on the calendar to honor veterans, I say thank you for your willingness to do all that you are called to do. The world is better because of you all. So God bless our veterans. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Ah, dadgum, I thought I would get through it. Got me. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's deep. It runs deep. And I am proud to be a part of this family, but I'm proud to be a part of this nation. I mean, where else do you find the all-voluntary military that we have that does the things that it does? And do I get concerned about them these days? Certainly I do, but you know what? I'm still proud, and they're still the best. All of you green suiters out there on active duty, all of you served before, all of you family members of veterans, thank you for your service. We appreciate you. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Veterans Day today. I got a caller on the line, Boomer. I do. Yeah, Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
I'm blessed, sir, and I am totally blessed by your very deeply felt and sharing a witness to your veteranship, if you will, if it's a word, those of your ancestors before you and your family today. It's just an honor to have you, Colonel, in our life, and I certainly thank you for that. And I in this land of freedom and liberty that they have fought and you fought for and your family. So you need to put that on not only on a podcast, but in a written way and touch people with the truth about what freedom and liberty living in this country and worshiping in this country really means.
Wow. Well, Thomas, I'm humbled by that and I appreciate it. And thank you so much for the call. I didn't realize you were just going to compliment that. And I'm honored by it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, sir. And God bless to you.
All right. Thank you.
And all your loved ones. Yep. And rest in peace. All right.
Thank you, sir. I got to tell you, though, there's some funny stories about growing up in an Army family, too, though. There's stuff, Boomer, like you wind up with stuff that, like, may not be in the normal house because they came from foreign countries, you know, or whatever else. I can still remember my dad, we were stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, and he brought home, I think it was a small drogue chute or some type of a, it wasn't a flare chute because those are small. But anyway, it was big enough to where I thought I could jump off a high place with it.
Oh, no.
As a kindergartner. yeah. Apparently, I wanted to be a paratrooper even back then.
Wow.
Didn't work out too well. No broken bones, but yeah, that I don't know who taught me that, but nobody taught me that was a good idea. I just thought it'd be cool.
Just be cool.
That's just, I was that kid. Yes. You know. So anyway, that didn't work out. I can remember, too. So Granddaddy was a general, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I got in the service, I had to sort of become aware that not every general is your granddaddy, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
I'll never forget. So I'm a cadet in ROTC at the University of South Alabama where I got my commission, right? And I was tapped to go to this, it was kind of an honor, I was tapped to go to this big convention. And one cadet from every college was sent to Virginia Military Institute for a thing called the George C. Marshall Conference, and it was kind of a big deal. It was really neat. But we went to this. We had one dinner, and there were generals everywhere. You know, it was like the Milky Way. There were so many stars, and they had these big long tables, like banquet tables.
Yeah.
In this huge old historic dining hall at VMI, and. I mean, I bet there was at least 30 place settings down each side of the table. They were
wow.
so long. And there were probably 20 of those tables. And in the middle of each table, there was a plate setting with the general officer's flag at the plate. All right. So a guy that I was hanging out with at the conference, we got to know each other. He was from Georgia. I was from Alabama. And so we were kind of buddies at the conference. We wanted to sit by each other. By the time we got to a table, there were only three seats left. And there was an empty seat. There was the general seat and another empty seat. Well, so you can already see where I'm going here.
Yes.
So I just kind of looked around, and I took the general's flag, and I moved it down one.
Oh.
So he and I, what in God's name was I thinking?
What?
So I'm sitting there enjoying my salad or something. I don't know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, I could feel a presence. You can feel somebody who's standing so close to you that you can just feel their presence, right?
Yes.
Yes. That was the general.
Oh, no.
And so I am sitting there eating, and I feel the presence to my right shoulder, and I turn and look, and he goes, "Well, I see I've been moved, cadet. I guess that'll have to do." And I looked at him, and I went, and all of a sudden it hit me what I'd done. What was I thinking?
Like, what were you thinking?
Like, he couldn't figure out that I had moved his seat, even though there's 30 place settings that maybe he would know where he was supposed to sit. And I was like, abada, abada, abada. And he goes, "At ease." And I sat there. I had to sit by him the whole meal.
The whole meal.
Oh, for the love of God. But anyway, there's 35 years of stories in my life, and some of them are not good. But yeah, I'm sure today is going to be full of memories. We'll pull some stuff out. We got the triple dipper. We're going to be covering down on some things, and you know, just our last call a moment ago. Was that Thomas from Athens who called a moment ago? It was, yeah. He mentioned the podcast, and yes, we will put out that monologue along with the rest of the show in segmented form on the podcast. So if you just want to get the monologue by itself, it'll be out there. All those podcasts, if you're not a podcaster already, if you are, look for Right Side Radio. And where are we at on that today, Boomer? I mean, we're like 93,000?
We're close to 94. If
94,000?
Yeah. Let's see, 93,800. Oh man,
I'm gonna get that donut. You
You're
know I
get
am.
That donut.
You know I am. We're gonna be over. We're gonna be at 100,000 by the end of this month.
It's gonna be nuts.
We might be at 100,000 before the end of the month.
Yeah.
Have mercy. But yeah, that podcast, it's out there, Right Side Radio. Go find it. You can also find it on our website in case you're not a true podcaster and you just want to go grab the links at rightsideradio.org. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.